It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, 1-2, 1-2. We are in the self-isolation zones in our own cribs. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation.
The podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back again.
ISO,
yeah, man. We are, you know, Fortress of Solitude. What is this shit called? Sheltering in place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Out here sheltering in place. I think I'm getting the hang of it now.
What's the trick?
You just submit to the day. Not even submit to the day. You just figured it out. Actually, that's typically how my shit start. I wake up and I'll be like, well, damn, there ain't really much to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then there's a moment where I'm like, well, shit, I could probably go back to sleep, but I don't really want to do that. So I typically I tune into Cuomo, see what he talking about, watch a little bit of The View. And then my day begins. I make something to eat, and then look at a bunch of internet shit. Look at a bunch of some reading. You know, I stay saving shit to Pocket. You ever use Pocket?
No.
Pocket is this app. I've been using this for years, but it bookmarks all of the shit. Like, you know, when you're on Twitter or whatever. And they got like a link to a story. Mm-hmm. You're like, damn, that's a hell of a headline. I would love to read that story someday. You just send that bitch to Pocket, mm-hmm. and it saves it over there as a PDF, which is cool because it saves it as a PDF. So like, if you're on a flight ever again in life, if you're on a flight, you could just go through and, you know what I mean? You don't need Wi-Fi. You could just catch up on a bunch of shit, or you could just not be on a flight. You could just be in your home. And at the end of the day, look at all the shit that you sent to Pocket. It's almost like a Netflix queue for reading.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been trying to catch up on a lot of shit because sometimes I'll just send shit to Pocket and forget all about it. But, you know,
put got it a lot in of the time pocket. On my hands.
So what?
It's a Tabby Bonet song called Put It in the Pocket.
Oh, right. Hell yeah. Shout out to Tabby Bonet. That's funny. Yeah, I remember that record.
Yeah, I used that joint in one of the movies.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. What's good with you, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, you know, same, quarantining and shit, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have the hang of it. I mean, I'm catching the rhythm of my day, and I'm also, you know, structuring out my days a little better. But, you know, mm-hmm. still the law of unintended circumstances and shit. So, you know, you deal with things that pop up like, damn, I didn't even think of that. A lot of it now. It's like, how are the kids reacting to it? You know what I mean? It's like my kids are having totally different reactions to being in the house or just, you know, operating just from a little box on your screen. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So like my daughter, you know, who's younger, sixth grade, she's used to being in a little screen. So she's used to communicating over long stretches via screen, which, you know what I'm saying, at first I thought it was like a problem. Like, you need to put the phone down, you know what I'm saying, stop FaceTiming your cousin all weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just live in the phone with each other. You know what I'm saying? All weekend, they may be FaceTiming, just put the phone up and just doing life with the other person on the other line, just watching or, you know what I'm saying, or they actively participating with each other. So at first I used to think that was, you know, come on now, y'all killing yourselves. Like, stop it. But now
y'all killing yourselves. I like that shit. That is extreme as fuck. Go ahead though.
But now in the quarantine, you can see where that comes in handy, where she's already used to this. So in school, she, you know what I'm saying, she operates a lot better, you know what I'm saying, because she's used to being on a screen and doing living remotely. So then I didn't pay attention to my middle son, who's like in 10th grade. He's not doing as well in this quarantine as, you know what I'm saying, as she is, or, you know, as well as I thought he would be, because he's not used to living his life within a screen. You know, he's just
really
he's used to going to the school and, you know what I'm saying, and showing out and, you know, and doing, you know, when you're a nerd, you like to show out and do your work and make sure, you know what I'm saying, all the feedback you're getting right away. You could look right at the classmates and see, you know what I'm saying, what's the right move to make. You know what I mean? You could put on your fresh clothes, walk in, you know what I'm saying, everybody, you know, recognize your gear.
Right.
And in quarantine, you don't get that. You know what I'm saying? And in his words, like, you know, I got some messages from the teacher saying that he hadn't turned in some work, which is totally unlike him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? He ain't turning no work. Like, what the fuck? So, you know, you check in, you know, you do a check-in, and then it's kind of like it's no fun. You know what I'm saying? It's just work. It's like it's not – you don't get anything outside of it. It's just work. And I was like, damn, that's kind of like paying bills and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like you may work, and don't get much out of it, but to goddamn pay the bills that you owe. So I got it. I understood. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, how do you make life easier in the quarantine for him? And how do you kind of get him to pivot from what he knows to what it is? And, you know, hopefully this won't last as long as forever, but you know what I'm saying? How do you get him to the next space? You know what I mean? And that was an unintended, unforeseen circumstance that I had to deal with. Like, damn, okay, I didn't think about that. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got kids at home. It's like, how are they really adapting to this shit in their real self? Not just getting by and getting through the day and not pissing you off or not stepping on your toes and being in your way while you're trying to work. It's how are they actually dealing with this shit? Because I think some of them are taking it a little harder than we think.
Mm. So what did you find? What did you, any solutions that you came to?
This was just yesterday. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you still trying to figure it out?
Yeah, this is a very new scenario. This is real-time quarantine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. New age situation. Yeah. What I thought was very new age was the fact that you just called your son a nerd, and it wasn't in a real derogatory fashion. It shows shit is different now. You called him a nerd, and then in the same breath, said his clothes was fresh and all types of other shit. I was like, well, wait a minute. This don't even line up.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This is a new America.
Yes, yeah, it's very new. Like, you know, he's a hybrid, you know what I mean? He's definitely top of the food chain in the classroom. That's what he thrives on. That's his thing. Like, you know,
right.
It's always been that way. So... But he's always, you know what I'm saying, he's coming into wanting to get fresh. And and a lot of that, you know, it plays into getting fresh because you could do your research, you know what I'm saying, you know when, what, how, you know what I'm saying. So he actually puts thought into what he does as far as his clothes, which, you know what I'm saying, which, you know, makes him kind of like a hybrid. So he knows how to look fresh, but in his way, you know what I'm saying, and still represent what he represents. He calls himself a nerd. Like, you know what I'm saying? His Instagram has nerd in it. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So, you know, I'm not just saying it because I'm saying it's just something he aligned himself with.
I dig it. Another N-word reclaimed. I dig it. Shit, man. Well, that's fucking, that's dope. That's some fly shit, man. So... What you laughing about?
It didn't feel fly when I was going through it. Like, damn. I overlooked.
Yeah. Maybe fly wasn't the best choice of words. You know how you just be trying to keep the mood light. Yeah, fly to the motherfucker.
That's some fly shit right there. Right,
that's some
man.
Fly shit. You like, wait a minute. If you had a transcript, you're like, wait, actually, I guess it wasn't fly. It was something to think about.
Right.
It was a new perspective.
That's one of those conversations you walk away from thinking like, damn, that wasn't fly. Like, that motherfucker, man, he wasn't even listening.
Nah, this motherfucker wasn't paying attention. I'm trying to be like you, my nigga. Like, all right, well, okay, nigga, I just told you I came from a funeral. But, you know, you say what you want to say.
No doubt.
Oh, shit, man. Anyway... So so you saying you got to check on. See, that's the beauty. I mean, not the beauty, but that is definitely a big difference. Quarantining alone versus quarantining with children and a wife and everything else, there's a lot more interaction that I'm not having to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's not a whole lot of shit to consider outside myself. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Nah, that's cool because it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You have to deal with what you're dealing with, not other people. You know what I'm saying? Your quarantine is yours, and you had to get through it how you need to get through it.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
Pros and cons on both sides. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? one of our listeners, Ro is famous, I think the name of it. Ro is famous. He did a short film during the quarantine that he shot himself. Really? He edited it himself. He played the main actor. And it's about quarantining alone. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Being black in quarantine by yourself. But the character actually has the virus. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I thought it was a very brilliant way to make use of the time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To shoot something on your own. Because, you know, a lot of times you think, yeah, I should shoot something. But then it's like, damn, I'm going to be the fucking actor and shit. And I think he pulled it off in a way that was cool, man. It was like, shit, man. I wish I had thought about that. You know what I mean?
And, check that out.
Yeah. And it was funny because when he sent it to me, after I watched it, I was kind of like, how the hell are you – came up with the symptoms, you know what I'm saying? Because he played out certain symptoms, and it's like, oh shit, like how you came in. He was like, I know some people who had it, and they described it to me, you know what I'm saying? And what they were going through and their mindset, and and then he put it in his performance, and I thought it was very dope. And I think, you know what I'm saying, he should it should be something that can get his career going in that way. Cause he's like, this is his first narrative. Like he usually do documentary style. So, I was like, man, send this shit to everybody, dog. You know?
Yeah. I got to see that shit. Yeah. I'll shoot it to you.
Yeah. This shit is crazy. His Instagram is Rowe is famous. Rowe is famous. I think he's out of Kansas City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rowe for doing that, man. If it's public, then maybe we can put it on the Facebook page and shit. Right. You know what I mean?
I'll check it out. I'll see if it's public now. It wasn't yesterday, but I'll see if it is now. Yeah. It's just wild because as opposed to in the beginning weeks when it was like, black people can't get this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people, starting to be a lot of people who I know that's getting it. You know what I'm saying? Various ways. You know, some is in the hospital, some don't have symptoms, you know what I'm saying, just on quarantine. Some just going through the ups and downs of the shit. So it's like, it's just wild because it's real now. It's getting closer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's Rona season for real. And it's definitely familiar. You feel the impact. You definitely, if you don't know somebody intimately, you must know somebody that knows somebody. You know, I've definitely given more than my fair share of condolences over these last couple of weeks. Mm. More than usual. Speaking of that, though, on the other side of this, you know, I was reading this story in the Times about the people that got coronavirus fairly early, mm-hmm. who beat the virus, and now I guess they got the antibodies and are seemingly immune, right? And how they're re-entering this empty ass society, you know what I mean? Because they don't have to really stay in the house because they aren't a threat to anybody because they aren't contagious, allegedly. Mm-hmm. You know, they got the antibodies and they can't catch it because they caught it already. Right. So now they just in the world. And what the existence is to be in a world where damn near the world is shut down. You know, it's only really the essential places. I was reading that was an interesting story. Kind of initially, I found myself, I don't want to say envious, but I was like, damn, they might get to enjoy these low airfares. But I was thinking, you know, that's the first thing. And I thought, I was like, oh, shit, they can get on the flight and be good. Go to Paris for fucking $200 and get it. But then I realized you fly all the way over there and realize that shit shut down like your block.
Right.
So, you know, it ain't the best thing.
And
but
then,
that's
got to
be a mind fuck.
Can't get it again.
Well, no, because this is, as they call it, what, the novel virus, you know, mean, or the novel coronavirus, meaning that, you know, that shit is still under review.
Right.
You know, so everything is new.
I think it was some cases in China where people got it again. Well,
yeah, look at that.
But, you know, so it's still like you enter the world, you still don't know because this shit's so new. It's like we think we know, and then we just go, oh, yeah, shit. Black people can't catch it. Then we got it. You know what I'm saying? Then it's like,
yeah,
you don't need a mask. Then it's shit. You need a mask. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm sure those people get looked at, bugged out too.
Why?
Because that's the shit. Like, you know, when you see people outside, you're like, what the fuck?
I mean, there's people outside anyway. Like,
but it's not
doing a lot, but it's people out there.
Yeah, it's people out there. It's people out there, but you know, there's still this, I've been seeing, there's still this attitude of, yo, y'all need to keep it, y'all need to stay in the house. Like, really, let's stay in the house, let's flatten this curve. I know, you know, like, it's a weird balance of people just like, yo, I can't stay in the house all the fucking time. I'm going to have to walk around the block. I got to get some exercise. I got to do something. I'm going to keep my space. I'm a social distance, but I need to get some of this fucking oxygen out here. You know what I mean? I'm going crazy. You know, there's that. But then there's also motherfuckers having picnics and volleyball games and shit like that as if this shit ain't even going on no more. They just living their life as if there's not a pandemic.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then that becomes the problem. You know what I mean? So who's to say, though? Because now, you know, at first people are looking at those type of people as selfish people. Those people could be needless. They could be killing people and they don't know. You know, that's the story, the propaganda they're giving you. But who knows? Maybe this cat went through it and he got the antibodies that he think he good. You know, and he wanted to do something. So we don't know from afar is what I'm saying.
No doubt.
You know, speaking of don't know from afar and kind of related to that Roe is Famous situation, I had that moment a couple times this week where I have to ask myself, am I crazy or am I just vlogging? Because there's a lot of just yelling into a camera, and I was thinking, like, I was getting really intense with some shit earlier today, and I was like, if you was just outside in the hallway, you would definitely think a motherfucker was going through a breakdown, you know? This shit was ridiculous. But,
are you vlogging?
I'm vlogging. I'm just not publishing it, so I guess I'm crazy. I'm actually, like I said, I'm just fucking with these cameras. I got a lot of these cameras, and I'm learning these shots, and I'm starting to record shit. And the recording process is not the hardest part. The recording process is all right, but then going back into the edit and dealing with all of that footage and all of that tedious shit. So, but yeah, today I was shooting some shit while I was making a juice. That's the content level. That's how riveted it is. They could make it a juice. But yeah, so I was doing that shit. I'm just trying to figure out how to work with two cameras or multiple cameras and, you know, get the editing shit going and all of that. I just realized the footage I shot today, I probably can't really use it because I did two cameras, but in one shot you see the other camera. You know what I mean?
So that's that kind of, you know what I'm saying? Just cinema verite, man. It is what it is, man. Sometimes like you just gotta, you know, you got to live with it. You got to live with what you got, man. And it's not bad that you see the other camera. They think, oh, he got a budget.
I guess.
Budget. That's nigga got three cameras.
This nigga got another visible camera. He's driving.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit. I thought it was magic, these angles. shit, man. Did you see the beat battle this weekend?
I was thoroughly engaged in the beat battle this weekend.
You was fully engaged? I was all in. Yeah, fully. Yeah. Let's talk about that. I was,
you know, had my fake gunshots in there. Boop, 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 boop.
Okay.
I was grooving. At a certain point, when they finally found their groove, when they started getting to the real shit, you know what I'm saying? Right. It was kind of like going, it's like song for song. It's like two DJs going song for song, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it got real good at a certain point, but like after the 20 songs was over, really. You know what I'm saying? After they got the, all right, the battle is over, let's just play some joints. That's when all the real joints came out.
Yeah, let's just enjoy this.
Yeah.
Have a good time and shit. I think we're going to get into the battle, but I think one thing that I've noticed, I'm not a developer or anything like that, but that is, there's a sore need for either an audio company to step up to the plate and develop some new shit, or just to reintroduce some shit to where you get consistent, pristine audio via Instagram Live. If there's some type of preamp or some type of filter that like is standard that everybody could download, so that Premiere got the same type of sound as the RZA, as opposed to everybody saying, "Yo, okay, RZA doing, like, I'm gonna jump into the iRig. How's the iRig sound? All right, bet I'm gonna do this now, and I'm off the Bluetooth."
But see, that's the problem. See, here go the thing. What's happening is everybody gotta be regular. You know what I'm saying? All your fancy shit don't matter no more. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Instagram is not built for your fancy rig up. You know what I mean? It's built for your regular ass phone. Point your camera, shoot it. You know what I'm saying? That's it. So the people who got it down right, like Premiere, is they're positioning their camera and their speakers right. And they have it at a level that the phone can, you know what I'm saying, pick up. So what happens is a lot of guys try to turn the shit up, and then the big A&R speakers don't register in the phone. The phone is trying to actually block those sounds out as background sounds. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So it's trying to pick up just the mid-range levels of where it would be if someone was talking on the phone. So Premiere, he got it right. His engineer had him set up right. RZA kept trying to do all kind of these high-tech things, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, he tried to hook a mic up to it and da-da-da. None of that shit be working. You could see that on Puffy's telethon that he did. See how everybody called in, sound real clear. And his shit was sounding kind of muffled because they was trying to go through the big system and play the big speakers because they needed to get hype, you know what I'm saying? Right. So Instagram is really not built for that shit, you know what I'm saying? YouTube handles all that shit a lot better. You know, where you could run shit in and, you know what I'm saying, you catch the sound. YouTube Live is built for that. But everybody, the consumers, are on Instagram. Everybody's following is on Instagram. So you kind of got to deal with the rules of what it is. I'm sure Instagram is going to do some upgrades after all of this attention they're getting and all these celebrities jumping in on it. So I'm sure they probably will do some upgrades. But right now, it's built for regular phones, man, just regular shit. And if you live in that space and you actually operate in that space, it's gonna come out clean.
Mm. Yeah, but even what you just said is what I'm saying. That type of information should be standard to all. Maybe there is a thing like where there's some type of PDF that you got to look at before you even compete. You know, like if all these people going to be there, they send out the PDF. This is how you should arrange your speakers. This is the levels. You know what I mean? This is what we've seen to work.
Right.
You know what
and
I mean?
And that should be on Swiss and Timberland, really, because we are actually out of the range of what Instagram is meant to do. Right. So we're in another space. You know, black people be innovating. Like, the technology will catch up. But right now, we're kind of, like, rigging it up. So really what I think is Premiere or his engineer should be the technical go-to for everybody. You know what I'm saying? All right, this how you do it. Because his shit was solid all the way through. He didn't move his phone. His sound was the same all the way through. You can hear him talking. You can hear his music. You know, the RZA was, you know, going back and forth trying, you know, it's unfair because these guys are used to doing studio shit, you know what I'm saying? And being in the lab and doing it the real way. But they're in the world of regular shit now. And it's like everybody is on the same level. You can even see it in the haircuts, dog. You know what I'm saying? It's like the niggas' beards growing out. He got the grays showing. You know what I'm saying? Khaled looking like the bodega owner. You know what I'm saying?
I saw that meme,
Everybody is in the regular space now. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got your stylist there or your barber. You know, some cats ain't social distancing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Boosie. You know what I'm saying? But other people, they taking it serious and it's their regular is coming out. And you're competing on a platform that's for regular people.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I guess that's an interesting idea. I guess so. I mean, It's funny though, because Instagram wasn't, as you're saying, I don't know if that's Instagram is the platform for regular people, because I do think that, I just think that this situation is making everybody regular and Instagram is just capturing it, because typically Instagram is all, Instagram has been the platform for fronting. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's the filter with platform. Pictures, there's a lot of.
And still with just point your phone, hit the button and shoot from your phone, not to put your, it's not set up to, because I've tried to do all kind of shit and try to run shit into my Instagram and it's not set up for. Like video wise, you're not, you know what I'm saying? You can't, you know, record a thing and then do it live like you're faking live. You have to actually be live and it has to actually be coming through your phone and you can't do it from your computer. And
right.
So it's like you have to deal with, okay, I had to do it like a phone would do it.
Mm-hmm. Man, what you think of the battle?
I loved it, man. I think, you know what I'm saying, both of those guys, they were matched up properly. That was a good matchup. They actually kind of, their styles are alike. You know what I'm saying? The more you listen to them back to back, they had similar styles. of course, you know, I lean more towards RZA because his shit was more relatable to me. And and we know we had the group discussion going on during the battle, you know what I'm saying? Had, you know, partners over here and friends over there, everybody chiming in, you know what I'm saying, as it was going on. And after the battle, I had a discussion with a friend of mine who's, you know, from New York and lived in that era and came up in that era. And it was just like, oh, shit, Premier was, you know what I'm saying, when he played that shit, it was so. But it's like a lot of those songs didn't reach to where I was at. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
It was like that was backpack music where I was at. But the RZA, they had enough reach to, even if you wasn't into the Wu-Tang, you heard some of them joints. You know what I'm saying? And so it was, in that case, it was more familiar to me what the RZA was doing, even though Premier selection was better. It's always most beneficial to the guy who goes second the whole battle. You know what I'm saying? Because they had an opportunity to really just counter whatever you put up.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that it definitely reveals what type of hip-hop you were raised on. You know, what was your, you know, because as universal as hip-hop is or has become, growing up, everybody, even regionally, had their own specific diet of hip-hop.
Right.
You know, like back in the day when hip hop, you know, when it was like on some headphone shit, you know what I mean? You just got some shit going on your Walkman or whatever, or, you know what I mean? And you got this in your headphones, whatever tape you made or whatever mix you put together, you know, that was very personal to you. So it was like who you fucked with early. Right. So like, you know, with this whole shit, like how you said, you know, you are you more leaning more towards RZA. I'm definitely a Primo cat. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up on Primo is the guy. Primo, to me, I don't know, maybe it started maybe like in 97 when he started, maybe a little later than that when he started to, like, kind of work with people outside of Gangstar. But, like, getting a Primo beat for an MC, that shit is like, that's like getting an award. You know, that's sign of saying, yo, you made it, Pop. Right. You a certain type of MC. Everybody can't claim to have a Primo beat. You know, like it wasn't as accessible as certain other producers, to where if you had the budget, they'll fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Premier is probably one of the closest to like the sticklers of, I gotta listen to your bars. You right. know, there's a few rappers that have said, you know, I kind of approached Premier to do some shit for me, and I kind of got spun out. You know, it kind of curved me a little. You know, politely.
Right.
You know, and so to that point, when motherfuckers do get down with Premier, they step their shit up, because there's been a certain level of like excellence that's related to it. Right. And then on top of that shit, like what RZA was saying to Premier, just the way that shit sounds, just how, like, he said thick, but just how thick and how dense and how hard the drums hit, like it's a certain type of thing.
Right.
So, and
for me, I didn't experience a lot of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now, just like you said, MC stepped up when when they got with Premier. It seemed like Premier stepped up when he got, like, with the bigger artists. You know what I'm saying? So, like, on the Biggie album, like, shit. I mean, Kicking the Dough, Ten Crack Commandments, that's like, shit, goddamn. It seemed like he stepped it all. You know what I mean? He stepped into a lane that was like, whoa. The Jay-Z joints, you know what I'm saying? Even though they weren't the biggest records where I was from, you know what I'm saying? But you could hear that it was still a different kind of groove to the beats that he had with Jay, and that maybe because of those are the ones Jay may have picked or Biggie may have picked, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I was definitely respecting and I definitely respect that he's actually from Houston or Texas and came to New York and was able to really give New York a sonic sound that made an era. I just wasn't here for that era. So a lot of it missed me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you heard, like, when the East End in the House from J. Rue the Damager just from, like, Rap City or some shit. But that wasn't no song that ever played anywhere that you went. You know what I'm saying?
Like, mean, Come Clean.
Yeah, like, When the East Is in the House, oh, my God, Danger. It's Danger, actually.
Yeah, that's not, but that's not J. Rue, though.
Who is that?
I forget who that is.
That's Danger, shit, J. Rue.
No, it's not.
Who is it?
I forget. When the East...
Hold on. We're going to go to the research right here.
Yeah, I don't think that's J. Rue.
Go ahead.
I think that's...
Oh, that's Blase Blah.
Yeah,
Blase Blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Blase.
And I think that's P.F. Cutting that did that beat.
Oh, word? That wasn't...
I don't think that's Primo. I think that's P.F. Cutting. Yeah. I could be wrong.
I don't know nothing about that shit.
I get it, but I appreciate where you're going with it. Yeah. It's all good. But, you know, yeah, though, that, so that was one of those things. It was like, you know, like, I wasn't, because I've been hearing a lot of people saying, yo, a lot of y'all was really just kind of just disrespecting RZA off the rip, da-da-da-da-da. Y'all were kind of saying he ain't have a shot, all of this type of shit.
Yeah, true, they did.
I wasn't amongst that. I respect RZA's, because as ill as Primo is, I think RZA is that, like, revolutionary. You know what I mean? Like, he was, his style was just so unorthodox and consistently unorthodox. Like, every time you heard, you're like, oh, like, it don't sound like nothing else. Right. You know? Like,
what RZA did for me, you know what I'm saying, being... in an outer market, I'm in Miami, and he came, Wu-Tang sound, all that stuff. He was making that unorthodox sound. Like, it didn't have no 808s, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, what the fuck is going on? Right. It was like jazz. It was like avant-garde jazz, but he would still find a groove in that avant-garde-ness that felt like, ooh, God, okay. Made you actually want to dance a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Even on some unorthodox shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, once he got into his bag on the battle and started playing some of that shit after the 20 songs, it was like, oh, shit, dog, you should have played this shit way earlier. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I first moved to New York and that Triumph beat was out, like... You could hear that instrumental, like, that instrumental just would be playing somewhere. It wasn't even, like, the song all the time. It was just, like, you just hear that beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit. That shit, that was hard. So, you know, for me, it just, his joints, his hard records just hit in a different kind of way. Like, the first time I ever heard, not heard Wu-Tang Clan, something to fuck with, right? It ain't nothing to fuck with. But the first time I heard it out in the streets, in Miami, like niggas playing it in the car, it was like, wait a minute, like, this ain't supposed to happen, because, like, it's a lot of New York records didn't get burned in Miami, but we was, you know, on the strip, it was on 7th Ave, you know, where they, you know, basically where the cars go up and down in between 54th Street and 79th Street, between Willie Taylor Burger King and Jumbo's. All of the Brahms, all of the Verts, you know what I'm saying? Everybody lined up in the different places, right? And, you know, once you hit the strip, you want your sound to be hitting right. So I guess these cats, they timed that shit perfectly. You know what I'm saying? That Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to Fuck With came on. And then it was like Tiger style. Tigers. Then you hear the ooh. Mm-hmm. And then that motherfucking bass line came in. And that nigga had that sound right. Boom, ba boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh shit. And niggas was losing their mind, like, what the fuck? And you know what I'm saying? You could tell that he felt every inch of that record. You know what I'm saying? The nigga driving. Mm-hmm. Like he was in there by himself, just, you know what I'm saying? Just grilling everybody down, like, yeah, nigga. Y'all didn't think I was gonna play it, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
That shit gave resonated. It gave me a whole new respect for what RZA was doing, because again, while it was unorthodox and avant-garde, it still hit certain benchmarks in music that make the hood feel it, no matter where you at.
Mm. Yeah. So who'd you have win? What was your score? Because I saw you hit me. You said my score was a very New York score. What was your response?
That was because we was just having that New York conversation. I had RZA barely. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Barely. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just because a lot of the records that he played when his sound was fucked up, they were better than the records that RZA played. Just in my own, you know what I'm saying? In my spectrum. You know what I'm saying?
To me. Wait, you mean they're better than the records that Primo played?
Yeah, that Primo played. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Ebro. Hold on. Ebro had the list.
Yeah, I got the list somewhere.
And then after they went on the 20, RZA just went on a rip. But you know what I'm saying? A lot of people ain't count that shit.
Yeah, it was too late after that. I don't even remember those.
Like Royce the like
Boom. Break,
like he played Boom, but he had to play Incarcerated Scarface. Like, no way in the world Boom beats that. You know what I'm saying? To me. But a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Again, when you go second, people just react to the song. Oh, yeah, that beat was hard. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think he won that round, my nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think I gave that to him. Hold on. What round was that?
That was late. That was 19. Criminology.
Like, oh, Incarcerated Scarface versus Boom. Yeah. I gave that to RZA.
I even gave like Unbelievable and Ice Cream.
Ice Cream, yeah.
I gave that to Ice Cream, dog. That's just me, because I felt like Ice Cream was a big record. It played in the clubs. It played outside. And where I was from, Unbelievable didn't make it off the album.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Unbelievable was a huge summer record. Just like Ice Cream.
That's what I'm
saying. No. That's what I'm saying. But where I was at, yeah, no, both of them were rocking. One was like, Unbelievable was a big summer record. Obviously, Ice Cream was a huge record. Then the damn video took it to the next level, because they had the Ice Cream truck with I think that launched Wu Wear, or right when Wu Wear was cracking. So they had all of the different shades of women and the different t-shirts and shit. So they had the ill merch angle to the shit. So like, Wu shit was always, that's the other thing too. Wu was, it was a movement. You know what I mean? They organized all them motherfuckers, which was a feat in itself, just to have all them wild motherfuckers moving in a unison, and especially in the beginning, you know what I mean? Moving as an army, and like, you know, the shit was, it was intentional. Right. So yeah, I could see that. I gave that shit a tie.
Right.
I gave that a tie.
And then see, like in the early on when he had the fucked up sound, when he had like Ghostface Killah Run, versus the KRS-One record, I was like, come on, man. Run is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's bananas.
But his sound was kind of messed up. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't hit. You know what I mean? But, like, Shame on the Nigga versus Daz Effects, real hip-hop, come on, man. Shame on the Nigga, man. Come on. Like, out of those first seven records, I had RZA with five of the wins. You know what I'm saying? To me.
Yeah, I hear you. On the Shame on it, what's that, number six? Yeah, I went Primo on that. Only reason I went to that was because RZA's his sound was, it was undermining the
That's
shit.
That's what I'm saying. But you know what Shame on a Nigga is, bro.
Yeah, but we can't do it like that. We can't do it like we gotta go. When you at us, if
it ain't audio quality.
Yeah, we call it this shit. I mean, it's a verse. It's a beat battle. This is like, it's almost like a sound clash.
Nah,
you know what I mean? And if your speakers is trash, we sound clashing, and my shit come in, boom, and the bass line is thumping, I got to go over here.
I mean, if we're going to go by those rules, then yeah, Primo won just off of default. But nah, not beat for beat. You go play them records right now together in your home, man. And it ain't gonna match up like that. But
I dig it. I hear that, and I feel that, and I understand that. That's a valid point. I'm just saying, because I took into consideration the presentation. Because it was a battle. It wasn't just like you said earlier. Because if we just looking at this shit on paper, it's gonna look on paper differently than what it was. Like, right. I think that's why anybody I even talk to about this shit, I'm like, were you there live? Because if you wasn't there live and then you just looking at the playlist, it's a little different.
But even though I could hear the record through the fucked up sound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know that goddamn Run is what it is. I'm like,
oh, I gave that to shit. Yeah, I gave Run to RZA. I gave yeah. that. Yeah, what was Run going up against? Hold on, let me see where that shit was at. Where the fuck was that at? Oh, that was up against MC's Act Like They Don't Know, which is a very stereotypical real hip hop record. That's very, like, if we go back to settings and shit, that's very SOBs, right. Especially now, like, early Crate, very, you know, head nod shit, very, you know, purist-ass hip-hop shit.
Right, right.
But, yeah, and, Run and, is and
a lot of the Primo records felt like that to me, because some of them I didn't know, you know what I mean?
Right.
Some of them I've heard, and my New York niggas would play it and shit like that, but I didn't know the record like that. So, again, it's all, a lot of it is based on where you were at during that time. And
because
the people who were in New York definitely gave that shit to Primo. Because from what I understand, that the RZA shit wasn't even hitting like that in New York on the ground like that. So, again, one of the other things we had in the conversation was that, you know, the borough politics of Staten Island being whack. You know what I'm saying? The only thing saved Wu was that old Dirty Bastard was from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like,
wow.
Where I'm from, like, you don't even know the borough politics like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they definitely, I mean, you know, Staten Island's a forgotten borough.
No,
they was going up against that whole stigma. That's why niggas from Staten, that's why they still, to this day, most people call Staten Island Shaolin.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that shit is, nobody even really refer to fucking Staten Island. Staten, that take too long to say. Shaolin. Niggas say that shit in 2020. Speaking of that, related to that, I don't know. I was just on Instagram Live. I was just, you know, going through a bunch of little Instagram Lives, and my man B-Dot from Rap Radar had Jermaine Dupri in his live, and B-Dot has been campaigning for this JD versus Diddy battle for the longest.
Nah.
Yo, they need to have this. Well, hold on, let me go through, because I want to hear your response to the whole shit, your reaction to everything.
Okay.
So, you know, it was getting a little bit of steam or whatever, and then and B-Dot, he from Queens, so I guess he, I don't know if he's the one that brought this out, but he was like, what about Trackmasters versus JD?
Right. That's fair.
Well, hold on, let me finish. But then I was thinking, because I've been thinking for about somebody for Trackmasters.
Mm-hmm.
Trackmasters is kind of like, I don't want to say forgotten a little bit, but they might not get all the flowers that they deserve. You know, Trackmasters was kind of pre-Neptunes, big record people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you got to go see Tone and Pope. Them niggas going to get you on the radio.
Yeah, no doubt.
So anyway, Jermaine Dupri, you know, I won't say got heated, but he was definitely excitedly pleading his case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he even went as far as to say, when B-Dot was saying, yo, he said, look, you can only battle once.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and I only really want to battle somebody on my level. You know what I mean? This is what JD said. I only want to battle somebody on my level.
Okay.
He said, and I don't like the fact that cats are saying that I'm ducking people, because from the first battle, what it was Swiss and Timberland, I was in the comments saying, yo, I got whoever win this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he said, I ain't never ducked no smoke or none of this type of shit.
Right.
He said, and so they were saying, well, shit, I think you versus Trackmasters would be good. That's what, you know, B-Dot was kind of pitching that. Mm-hmm. And Jermaine Dupri says, look, I'm from Atlanta. He kind of hit the regional shit like you. He said, look, I'm from Atlanta, and I make music for the world. He said, where I'm from, niggas don't even know who the Trackmasters are. I said, God damn. I had to jump in the comments. I was like, that's drop spicy talk.
Drop the bomb.
Yeah.
Bring me along.
So then he was, he was saying, you know, like, you know, people have been saying, you know, Puff's name. People have been saying Dre's name. He said, you know, it's got to be something like that. Because, you know, Jermaine Dupri will always hang his hat on this. He was like, look, how many niggas is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame? He loved to go to that. He loved to go to that shit. That's his little four touchdowns in one game Al Bundy shit.
Right.
But so then he, you know, he was kind of saying, yo, he's here for Puff. If Puff is, you know, saying whatever. So then Puff jump in the comments. Mm. You know what I mean? And Puff, like, look, he said, what'd he say? He said, look, he said, first off, he said, Trackmasters might smoke you. And said that to Jermaine, right? And so Jermaine kind of, you know, laughed it off a little bit. And then niggas were saying, but, because they were saying, who was Puff trying to call out? Jermaine was like, nigga, Puff tried to call out Dre. That's what he said, call out Dre. So Puff said, yeah, Dre. So he said, see, I told you it was Dre. He called out Dre. Then Puff was like, and you too. So then, so it looked like the shit might happen. I don't know. We'll see what's what. Your thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts, context-wise, while Jermaine had the South popping, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was the innovator of his space. You know what I'm saying? He ruled the roost, his sign, So Def is welcome to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? He had that sign.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You come in Atlanta, that's the first thing you're going to see. You know what I'm saying? He ran the town. You know what I'm saying? And we all seen what Atlanta has done. But in the grand scheme of things, JD's production was always kind of like the stepchild to Puffy's and Dre's. You know what I'm saying? A lot of what he did was coming after what they did and just kind of remixing what they did. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, like, Jagged Edge is kind of like the remix of 112. You know what I mean? The Brat was like the girl version of Snoop. Man, you know what I mean? So, from a critical perspective, it was always like him trying to do what everybody else is already successful at doing. You know what I mean? Even Criss Cross was, you know, you'll hear Naughty by Nature say, well, that was just some little kid us, you know what I'm saying? Doing the little jump dance that they was doing on OPP, you know what I mean? So
he said, to his credit, Jermaine Dupri said he got the whole jump shit from House of Pain. It was House of Pain? Yeah, I think it was House of Pain. Yeah, he said, you know, because House of Pain had to jump around shit.
Yeah,
and
but
then, he's
the
like,
thing about it was, Naughty by Nature, they was already doing that little hop step thing that Criss Cross was doing.
Oh, and yeah, that little dance.
That whole little jump thing was in the culture, but you saw it first in the OPP.
Up top.
Yeah, you saw it first in OPP, you know what I'm saying?
Or even Busta Rhymes had that, too.
And what, which, I'm talking about, like, could be Busta Rhymes, too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead, though.
But, like, the whole little swag was kind of like Tretch and little Tretches.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that being an aside, you know what I'm saying? JD do have some hits, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he got enough wherewithal to hang with Puff over, you know what I'm saying, the stretch of a battle. But, you know, hey, he 20 songs, you know what I'm saying, that kind of boils it down. You can get your swag up. I think he got 20 songs against Puff's 20 songs, And he has a definite chance of winning that. But if you're talking catalog for catalog, then it's like, come on, bro. To me.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think, I don't think it'll be, the funny thing about this whole shit is, you know, the 20 song cutoff kind of introduces a different context, because then it definitely comes down to your sequencing and shit like that. If you are a certain caliber of artist to where you have at least 20 joints, you got a puncher's chance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, because, you know, there's some of these motherfuckers that could go 40, 50 songs.
No doubt.
And still not be tired. You know what I mean? Still have shit in the clip. I think if I'm thinking about this, yeah, I agree with you. I definitely see that kind of up close. You know, shit, when I was in school down in Atlanta, that was definitely the refrain. Like, yeah, he kind of biting puff. We kind of trying to do what they doing up there with the bad boy movement or whatever. So it was always kind of like a facsimile on a certain level. And then this whole thing, just, you know, the presentation of the whole versus shit, there's a lot of shit talking that goes on in presentation. And JD could talk his shit, but I don't think it's too many niggas in the game that could fuck with Diddy when it come to talking that shit.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Especially a couple shots of Ciroc in with your legacy on the line. I don't think it's too many niggas that know that mic game is a lot different.
And you know what I mean? Politically, you're not going to get as many people on your side as Puff. You know what I'm saying?
From all
stretches of life. You know what I'm saying? Now, Puff is in a situation, in a very precarious situation, where his new age technology sound processing through the Instagram may suffer. Uh-huh. He may suffer because on his dance-a-thon, his audio did suffer because he's trying to go through the big speakers and the mic. It ain't that. It ain't built for that. But he needs that energy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he definitely is going to need some consultation on his audio program.
And he'll do that. He'll find that. You know that motherfucker will consult with a motherfucker immediately.
Because J-Lo and A-Rod sound crispy clear, and he will sound a little muffled. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of that dance. I seen about 5 minutes. I got into it. And then when I see Puff start dancing, I forget what record it is, and the nigga kind of got loose and revealed. He had a damn knee brace on.
Yeah.
I felt too concerned for his meniscus.
Yeah,
I had to get out of there.
Convalescent, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
the basketball shorts and the knee brace.
Yeah.
That just
a lot of Pat Ewing.
Look, you know.
Yeah, that was a lot of Pat Ewing in your swag. I had to get out of there. I caught the clips.
Yeah, but, gray, the knee brace, and the basketball shorts really wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Especially when Justin and Kristen, they got on the swag out attire.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They looking like 2020 Puff, and he looking like, you know what I'm saying, OG, you know what I'm saying, has been. You know, I think the wardrobe could have took a better look.
Yeah, you feel a little Succession energy in the room too when you see the youngins dancing around them. You could feel it like almost like, all right, pops, we get it, but pass the torch, baby. Let's get this torch going. But
what you also saw when they was fucking up.
Oh, they couldn't keep the groove?
Nah. I'm just saying, it's like the audio was true. You know, they couldn't figure the audio shit out, right? You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. They playing the shit too loud in the house is what's happening. You know what I'm saying? They just needed some little speakers that could translate to the phone speaker. But they was trying to do all this other stuff. They had a white boy, I guess he was his video guy, trying to do the tech and shit. None of that shit wasn't working. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? When they do wild shit, you know, Puffer, you know, give that look like, you know what I'm saying, nigga, you should be fired, but you're my son. You know what I'm saying? You live here.
Right.
If I could fire your ass and cuss your ass out, then I would, but I can't. But you're fucking me up right now.
That's, you know, the Succession energy. That's old Kendall and fucking, you know what I mean? Oh, shit.
He definitely, I guess what Puff is trying to do is appeal to the, you know what I'm saying, that he's regular. He's in the quarantine like everybody else. And, you know what I'm saying? So he went with that. But I think he probably, just like audio-wise, they probably should consult with Premiere. Like, the regular man, the rich regular man situation, niggas need to consult with Will Smith, man. He know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? He know how to be richer than everybody. But somehow appealing to the regular man. You know what I'm saying?
You know
how to do it.
Forget he rich.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to Jada Pinkett, because she's probably the leader in that space by doing her show on Facebook right at the kitchen table or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like she probably has the props of, because she was the original regular man's boo. You know what I'm saying? She was the crazy, sexy, cool. Everybody loved Jada. In our era, Jada was the prototype. You know what I'm saying? What you wanted your lady to be like. She wanted to be cool, cute, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And right. hold you down. You know what I'm saying? That's what she exuded on her in her roles. And in this atmosphere, that is winning because she could sit at the table with her daughter and her mama. Like, that's regular as fuck. That ain't no super celebrity shit. To sit down at the table in the kitchen with your mama and your daughter and a guest. That's some regular people shit. And Will probably took
a hangout.
Yeah, Will probably took note and was like, you know what? I need to appeal to the regular. Nigga right. got a show on motherfucking Snapchat. You know what I'm saying? He doing the regular shit. So guys should probably consult with him on how to do that. Cause he's doing it right.
He's the geek squad for the rich and wealthy.
Yeah, yeah. How to be wealthy and appeal to the regular in this time of everybody's right. regular.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if not, you might get robbed. Mm-hmm. So.
Gotcha. Get shit. All right, let me ask you this. Well, go ahead. Gotcha. What are you about
done.
To say?
I'm done. I'm
just talking shit. If you could have a couple, are there any matches, like fantasy matches versus, that you would like to see?
I was trying to figure that out. You know what I'm saying? It's tough. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's tough. Like, you know, I don't even think Diddy and Dre is a good match. Two totally different styles. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think so either. Two different energies. Like,
yeah, two different energies. Yeah. Dre brought it down to, like, the chronic smoking, weed smoking, down right. bottom era. Puffy was still in the party. So I don't think it's a good match. I don't think Dre really has a good match.
Who you got in this Teddy Riley babyface thing coming
up? Ooh, that is... I got Teddy Riley by hair, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just because, you know what I'm saying, I know Teddy Riley has more party joints, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know babyface got more ballads and more smooth shit, you know what right. I'm saying? So, but then I don't know how far babyface goes back. I don't know what he did before the babyface era. I don't know what he did when it was just LA and babyface producing. So
I didn't realize he did a few of them Bobby Brown bangers.
Oh
like
yeah.
the bangers.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. So
yeah,
he got
don't
some
sleep. Don't
I didn't yeah,
sleep.
I was definitely sleeping on his up tempos. I was, you know, babyface is definitely, you know, baby making type shit. You know what I mean? Like
don't
a lot
sleep.
Of you know, a lot of whining and dining and smooth grooves. You know, like he's definitely Quiet Storm, the Quiet Storm killer.
He got some joints, but then you know Teddy Riley.
Teddy Riley, New Jack. Come on, New Jack Swing.
Teddy Riley did the show.
Yeah, come on.
You know what I'm saying? With Dougie Fresh and Slick
Rick. That's one of the best. Come on, nigga.
Come on,
that shit is amazing.
Come on.
That's amazing. That's one of my favorite records of all time.
I mean, goddamn. You know what I'm saying? Teddy Riley got some shit. Teddy Riley did Keep Sweat, nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's he got joints. He got Michael Jackson joints. He it's
got
tough.
Guy.
He got, but he got you know guy. What I'm saying? But it's probably closer to me that I know Teddy Riley more than I know the shit that Babyface was on, because Babyface probably got some shit that I didn't know that's like,
That's the beauty of this whole shit, because it always, there's always some, like even with Lil Jon when he pulled out Tour. Mm-hmm. That threw me like, oh shit, I'd have never known. Babyface's music to me had always felt mature.
No doubt.
So that's kind of why like I kind of tuned out, because I wasn't even trying to. Sometimes you got to have, especially if you young and some shit feel mature, you got to have a little bit of patience in your, you know what I mean? If you ain't got the patience, like, you know, shit, I wasn't patient enough to really get into all of his jams. I appreciated them from afar, but I knew, you know, it was like fine art.
Yeah,
you
but see, so. When you was in it, like mm-hmm. I was outside during the Babyface era, right?
Okay.
I wasn't at home. I wasn't a big Babyface fan or whatever, but like when you right. go to the club, like you be in the real club. Like Luke's mm-hmm. first club was called Strawberries, right? Mm-hmm. Strawberry Lounge, restaurant and lounge. They had great food. Every hustler in Miami was there. Uh-huh. All the chicks. You know what I'm saying? It was going down.
Right.
And you go up in Luke's, in Strawberries. And and at the end of the night, because the shit went all the way into the morning. But like at the crucial moment after you played all the hits, all of the whole bass sequence, the whole reggae sequence, they go in straight from reggae into slow jams, right? Mm-hmm. Which was the beauty of how Luke programmed his clubs. It was a program. You actually knew what was going to happen when. So you go from dancing to the regular shit to the bass shit where you're getting hot and sweaty, you up on some ass or some shit like that. Then they throw the reggae on after that. Then you already up on the chick, so you already, you know what I'm saying, reggaeing the fuck out the shit. And then the slow jam come on. Down. So you ain't got to go look for nobody. You already hot, sweaty, and you got a dance mate. You know what I'm saying? The shit was perfect.
Right.
And then at the peak of the slow jam session, they played a Whoopa Pill by motherfucking Babyface. And everybody in unison, all of the trappers, the hot girls, you know what I'm saying? Everybody. This when Long Island Iced Teas and Blue Iced Teas was the shit. So everybody got their Blue Iced Tea up in the air and singing that, you got a Whoopa Pill, so come. That shit was the highlight of the night. You couldn't even leave until that happened. You know what I'm saying? Like that, like in the streets, Babyface was killing them niggas. You know what I'm saying? It was like wasn't even fair. Like he was killing it. And but if you wasn't outside, you might not know that. You know what I'm saying? You might look at the video and be like, oh, that's just some smooth shit. But nah, Babyface was in them streets. The streets love that nigga.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I'm just saying I wasn't in that context with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I definitely was affected more by a lot of Teddy Riley shit. His shit, it spanned a little bit more because his shit was the party.
Right.
Even the old folk party and the young motherfucker party. Like, the party it was the party.
Yeah, Teddy Riley got the party. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I hope they are consulting with DJ Premier on how to do the sound. You know what I'm saying? Because I know those guys have lived in studios, so they don't know nothing about iPhone technology. You know what I'm saying? Like that's from the Soulja Boy era on down. You know what I'm saying? So you got to get in. You got to get into it in a way that we can actually hear that shit. So
got to reduce.
You gotta streamline. You gotta strip it down and minimalize. You know what I'm saying? This when the little bitty ass speaker is gonna come through a lot harder than your big A&R speaker.
So you don't got no fantasy battles? I mean, just off the top of the head?
I didn't have a battle because I was looking for, I was trying to figure out who would go against JD. But Trackmaster sound nice. That sound like a nice battle. He just don't think it sounds sexy. Because he got 20 records that could go up against Drake. You know what I'm saying? Right. He got 20 records that could go up against Puff. So Trackmaster don't sound like a fair battle, but it shit.
It's a better look for Trackmasters. You know what I mean?
It definitely is a better look for Trackmasters, PR-wise. But, you know what I'm saying? Right. Execution, you know what I'm saying? It's a fair fight. Yeah. I was looking for somebody for Dark Child. Remember him, Rodney Jerkins?
I remember him. I just associate him mostly with Brandy.
But Dark Child got some joints, nigga. That guy, he got some Mary joints. That nigga got joints. He was hot as fish grease during that era.
You know what's interesting? Because a lot of this is, I think we said this before, but a lot of this, it's like behind the music. It's making you, the retrospect, the hindsight, it's making you give people another look. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, Dark Child, I just associated with Brandy. I know he has some shit. He has some shit with Brandy. And I'm sure he has some other shit. But it makes me, one, like I said, back then, especially certain people from like mid to late 90s, that were heavy or had a large R&B type of catalog, I'd see him, but I wasn't really, I see him, but I wouldn't see him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen him in passing, I got it, but it wasn't really for me. I respected the plaques and all of that. Like, but when you revisit a lot of this shit, one, you realize, oh yeah, this shit was fire. Now that I've given it some time, yeah, it was fire. And you see how the people in the room react to it. You're like, okay, this shit, just because I didn't fuck with it, don't mean it wasn't a hit. Right. You know what I mean? Right. There's a lot of that going on with it. But you're saying you like Dark Child. Dark Child versus who? Who are you thinking?
I didn't have nobody, but now that I just thought about like Dark Child versus Noontime, which is two producers y'all might not be high up on, you might not know them, but they got a lot of hits. Noontime had a lot of them,
I remember when Noontime was the shit. Now, who was in Noontime? Was it Noonie? Who's exactly in Noontime?
You just knew it was Noontime. I know it was a man, Ryan Glover, Noonie. Okay. I don't know. All I know is when you go to Atlanta, Noontime ran that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Noontime was something.
Niggas was out there with Range Rovers and mansions and shit. You know what I'm saying? That's all you knew. Them niggas was getting it.
That'd be something too. A flex off.
You know what I'm saying?
Where y'all just show old footage or old pictures of where you was killing shit.
Yeah, Rodney Jerkins had, like, he got Mary, he got Brandy, he got Whitney Houston. The nigga got some joints, man.
Yeah, so it's good.
I don't know where he at now, you know what I'm saying? But right. I don't see his name popping up in these conversations, but I definitely know he had hits because I was working at the radio station when during his era. And everything we seemed to get that like was popping was like, damn, that nigga Dark Child is killing him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He had that Share My Love with Mary, all that era. You know what I'm saying?
Share My World.
Share My World, yeah. That shit was
I'm going to go back. I'm going to listen to it. Yeah, I think for certain cats, this is one of the best things to do PR-wise. Because it'll make people look at your catalog again.
Yeah. So, and I know JD, he wanna be with the top of the heap because, you know what I'm saying? He deserved to play in that space.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he was just the runt of that group. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Even though in Atlanta the nigga was the chief.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? LA, Babyface, Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah.
That's shit. That's what Atlanta was made of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. I think he gets a lot of, I think he gets discounted a lot because he had a lot of but he had signature kid groups. You know what I'm saying? So it's easy to dismiss Criss Cross. It's easy to dismiss Bow Wow. Right. You know what I mean? Like, shit like that, even though the motherfuckers was killing the charts and all of that,
but
it's very easy to be like, you know?
What came out when in the Lil Jon battle with T-Pain was that how a lot of people like Puffy, they tried to get Puffy on Usher first. You know what I'm saying? Puffy produced records with Usher first.
Right.
But it didn't work until he got with JD. You know what I'm saying? JD gave him that sound. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he had his kid groups, but he also had records. He got records with Jay-Z, Money and Thing. Like,
of course, that's like, one of the best ones.
I'm not saying
JD's not that guy. I understand why a lot of people would kind of put him in a box. You know, that's kind of how he came in on a certain way.
Right.
But go ahead.
I just think because he followed behind some of the leaders as far as his style. And his signature style, you know, he just took what other people was doing and put that pillow bass to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pillow bass is like that soft 808. You know what I'm saying? They go up under like R&B and all that kind of shit. So he put the pillow bass to, which was like some of the DJs in Atlanta was already doing. They were making these mixtapes where they'd take a slow jam and then they put the bass beat up under it, like a fast bass-ass song matched up with a slow jam record. You know what I'm saying? Double time, and they call that shit pillow bass.
What's a good record to illustrate pillow bass for people to go reference just so they could kind of hear it?
My Boo. My Boo is the perfect example of pillow bass. You know what I'm saying?
That shit was fire.
My Boo.
You know what I'm saying? So, okay. All right, so anybody, you got any other fantasy? You got anything else? So you said Dark Child, who, like anything off the top of the head?
Nah, who you got?
I got a few things here. I got you saw me moving it along. Like, all right.
Let's get to it.
I got a few different things. One, I've been seeing this, and I feel like I was one of the first people to say this, and now it looks like it could possibly happen. And this is very hip hop. You might not be as invested in this one. But Alchemist versus Havoc.
I am invested in that. I understand what that is.
Okay.
I saw that today.
Yeah,
I understand that.
You saw Prodigy speaking towards it?
I saw Prodigy speaking towards it from a long time ago.
So that's one. That would be a great one. That'd be a great one. This has been getting a lot of spin around the timeline and all of that. And it's interesting, especially if it's just 20 to 20 and we keep in mind the shit talk element of it. But Kanye versus Pharrell. Now, that's been getting a lot of traction. Ooh. That's been getting a lot of traction because initially.
There's no winners there.
It's no winners? We going to be the winners. We always the winners.
We the winners because 20 songs, Kanye versus Pharrell. Come on, man. All you guys, it's a DJ set, really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You might as well just let D-Nice just play the records and shit and everybody enjoy.
So, I mean, that's been spinning around. That hasn't really been signed off at. Because for a while, I was like, I don't know who could really fuck with Pharrell. I at one point was joking Pharrell versus Chad. You know what I mean? Just splitting the tunes in half to see what's what.
Right.
But this is one of these things that I just kind of developed because I was like, who could fuck with this cat? But the only thing is it's 20. So 20 kind of makes it easy in the way that I was saying, yo, who would I like to see Snoop go against? Because Snoop got so many records. And then this might sound weird. This might be two different generations. But I was like, what about Snoop versus LL? That could be interesting.
Interesting, but weird, nonetheless. Because
could be weird.
It's two different eras.
It's definitely two different sensibilities.
Two different eras. And it's almost like, if you're from the LL era, you're going to love it. It's just like, then you're going to love all the Snoop shit. It's not a battle because it's too separated from each other. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I see that. And I agree with that. I've also seen Q-Tip versus Pete Rock. I would have liked to see Pete Rock versus Premier, actually. Yeah. Pete Rock versus Q-Tip, Premier. That could be interesting.
Yeah, versus Premier, that's fair. That's an equitable battle.
Yeah, that would have been a nice one. Now this is the ultimate. This is a reach. This is some fantasy shit. This is the ultimate flex. Very good Ashford the Simpson stunt. Well, what about Jay-Z versus Beyonce?
That'll break the net.
That would be stupid. That would be crazy, especially if they had the same crib. You know what I mean?
Audio gonna be equitable. It's gonna be fair. You know what I'm saying? And Jay-Z's gonna lose.
Maybe. I don't know. Probably
his fans aren't as you know what I'm saying?
They too cool.
You know what I'm saying? The Beehive, they not cool.
They
terrorists. You know what I'm saying? We can't win versus a guerrilla group of terrorists.
That shit would be stupid though. That would be a great one though. That would be a great one.
Yeah, Swiss Beats could pull that off.
I think that might be, might be the ace up the sleeve.
He's sticking with producers right now. I think he's saving all that hot shit for when he get his real deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? His Netflix or whatever the fuck scenario.
Oh, you think it's going to go that route? You think it's going to get corporate?
Yeah, you know he going.
Soon it's going to get corporate.
It's corporate, right? I bet he doing the deals right now. Because shit, come on, bro. They see what it is. They talking to the CEO of Instagram. I'm sure that the deal is getting done for the next level. They're going to be on ABC News talking about this shit. You know what I'm saying? Him and Timberland. So, come on. I already know he on a PR run right now. Why is he on a PR run? Because they running the deal up. Come on, bro. They deserve it, dog. They entertain.
I mean, I'm not mad at them getting the bag. I think it's going to change the energy, though.
Yeah, it's definitely going to change the energy. And even if they keep it on Instagram, it's going to be a bag.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a bag. They're going to force Instagram to upgrade, and it's going to still be a bag. This right here, this quarantine shit right here, is the shit what the smart TVs was built for, and nobody was ready for yet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You could, type into the TV. All this shit is what motherfuckers tried to make happen, but just never had the scenario for it to happen. Now, motherfuckers forced to be at home and do shit and interact with these apps. This shit finna change the game.
Hmm.
This big entertainment. Remember how niggas didn't want to, nigga, film stars didn't want to do TV and shit, and then Netflix blew the fuck up. And then film stars start wanting to do Netflix. It's like big film stars didn't want to do social media like that.
Right.
But now, these motherfuckers in business with social media.
I realized a long time ago, everybody got a price. Everybody want to get paid, especially if you got something to present. You will present it in any medium. I seen Tom Hanks host Saturday Night Live from home. You know what I mean? So it just shows. And his
wife did Hip Hop Array on Instagram Live.
And killed that shit. Yeah. That was ill. That was ill. They good at that too. That was a move. Yeah. Shit, man. What else is going on? What else I wanted to chop it up about? You had any more thoughts on the battle culture or anything? Anything?
Oh, man. I'm enjoying it, man. It's, I think the whole quarantine culture in itself, I'm fucking with all of the breakouts. Because, you know what I'm saying, this shit is built for people who was in motion but are able to take it to right to the people right now. Like, you know, Tory Lanez, he fucking killing shit. You know what I'm saying? But, I'm excited about what Boosie is able to do right now.
Because
Boosie, he came out as a young rapper, killed that shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Been able to sustain. He went to fucking jail, beat cancer, you know what I'm saying? And still able to sustain a fucking career as a legacy rapper, right? And is now, in this internet age, in this IG quarantine culture, able to ascend to a place where he's even more relevant than ever. Right now. You know what I'm saying? As an older fucking legacy rapper.
You know what I'm saying? Becoming a personality.
Yeah, from his crib, talking shit. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. In the same similar vein as Plies. As Plies did just when Instagram came. Boosie's doing in the quarantine era. You know what I'm saying? Right. Who knew Boosie had a fucking 18,000 foot square foot home on 67 acres? You know what I'm saying?
Who knew? Who knew? That's the crazy shit. That's the documentary after all this shit. Who knew?
Like, who the fuck knew? Who knew goddamn. You know what I'm saying?
67 acres. That's plantation shit.
Exactly. That's like, bananas. You know what I'm saying? That's like
Tyler Perry.
But you know, the low key rappers in the South, they doing their South business and then they taking that shit to their communities where they from and just building out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's
that's dope.
So it's fascinating to watch what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? And to be the troll of the internet after 6ix9ine, but in a cool ass, in a real nigga way. You know what I'm saying? Like, not just
he's the outlier.
Yeah, just not doing shit just to do it, just to rile shit up. He's just wild. It's like, you know what? Fuck it. I can get him talking and this is how I'm gonna do it.
It's a lot of that. You know, I'm seeing that. It's you know, especially, you know, you just reminded me. Because you look at present day Boosie and you could almost forget that, yeah, he did come in fairly young.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me a little bit of, what's my man's name? like Lil Durk and I guess like Lil Bibby, but not Lil Bibby, but like Lil Herbo, like G Herbo back. I think he used to be called, but he used to be called like Lil Herbo. Like it was before it was just G Herbo. Like they were always like Lil Bibby, Lil Durk. I think his shit was like Lil Herbo. Like they were young kids and they still young. They're like 22, 23, 24, some shit like that. But they've grown into a whole nother, they've matured to a different level of artists now.
Right.
Now they like they current, they relevant, they, you know what I mean? They've gotten you've kind of noticed their lyrical ability. Before people were sleeping on it. I remember my man, shout out to my man Mike Denny. He was one of the first people to be like, yo, you need to hear this kid Herbo. Like, this is way back in the he's a beast. And it was like, this is when the Lils had just started popping up. So it was easy to kind of dismiss the Lils. You're like, I don't know. But then I was like, okay. And I fuck with G Herbo. I think he one of the dope ones. But now back to the older cats, to that point how you talk about Plies as a breakout, fucking Boosie as a breakout. A lot of that comes from, you know, their personalities and shit like that.
Right.
Who I also see, especially in this these internet spaces, and maybe not to as such a large scale, but they pick their spots, and I could, like, I would actually watch a show with these motherfuckers. I've been watching a lot of Trick Daddy as of late. Trick Daddy's whole shit. Huh?
He on a show.
Is he on a show?
Yeah, I know. I heard he was Miami.
Okay, right. Yeah, I didn't watch that. I saw that. I saw that him and Trina was beefing and all. You know, I cut the cord, so I missed a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But, like, his whole cooking shit is definitely, we already knew he cooked for years and shit, but, like, I'm seeing a lot of his shit, like, him and his little nephews in his kitchen, and he's cooking all that shit. Now he got his own restaurant, the Sunday shit, that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that shit was popping.
Yeah, I heard his bananas. Obviously, Snoop. We've seen Snoop trying to, you know, become his own person. Who's that? That's a Trick Daddy. Styles P is mad funny. Like, right. Styles P ain't Jada, but Styles P in particular.
Where Styles P be at?
He don't, like I said, his shit don't pop up as often. Like, he might go live and he remind me like a black Archie Bunker. You know what I mean? Kind of like how Boosie is too. Like, in a way, like, certain motherfuckers is going, yeah, they stuck in their ways. They not shifting to whatever wind this progressive shit is blowing or whatever. It's like, look, I beat the hell out of my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit Boosie, like that. Like,
Boosie, yeah. Like, yeah, I beat the shit out of
them. you kind of want to take the mic away, but that's like, who it is. That's the charm.
Boosie, you can't say that shit. But Boosie, he from Baton Rouge, and he's isolated from this media. He not trying to host the Oscars.
Yeah. Nah, but I see, like, Styles P a lot, like, with his tweets, he'll do little videos here and there, you know, like, you know, obviously with the whole Jew shit, but him and his wife, how they support each other, like, just his sensibility about shit. Like, you're seeing a lot, and there's a few more that I can't think of off the top of the head, but, like, that have kind of just, they've turned the corner. To right. Where, like, I just want to see more content from them, and it don't always have to be music based,
right?
You know,
and the thing I really like about like Bootsy, right? He came out, he was under, you know what I'm saying, Pimp C's label, Trill or whatever, you know what I'm saying, right. Him, Webby, and we booked him on the show and FAMU Homecoming for you know, Yard Fest and the Homecoming concert, And they came, they were young. They just had the Wipe Me Down record, you know what I'm saying? They was popping. But the nigga had, like, you know how Ghostface had them bangles on, long-ass bangles on his arm?
Yeah.
Boosie had them big-ass bangles, gold, all. I mean, the nigga was dripped
like the Wonder Woman-looking joints.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. He was dripped all the way out. He looked like he was about 12 years old. He probably was 19. I don't know how old he was when Wipe Me Down came out. But he looked like a little motherfucker. But had all this, you could just hear him coming down the thing. All the gold just clinkety-clanking.
Yeah.
But they were in their own environment. They had their tour bus. They came in their own shit. They kept their shit, you know what I'm saying, isolated from everybody else. When it was their time, they came in, they did their shit, and they went on to their next shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not normal for, like, a new rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, he was holding his business down. Like an entrepreneur from the jump. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times new rappers, they come raggedy. You know what I'm saying? They don't know the address to the place. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So when I saw how they handled their business, you could see that he was about his business from the jump. You know what I'm saying? And to see where he's at and to realize all that he's done, even with the setbacks.
Right.
You can understand it because he always been about his shit. You know what I'm saying? When you hear him talk about his business, you're like, yeah, I could see it because he always been about that shit when he was a little motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that influence comes from, like, Pimp C and even probably Bun and all of them, because they always been some grown-ass, you know, rap motherfuckers.
Yeah, they always was in their own fucking zone and weren't worrying about nobody else's shit, man.
Yeah.
You coming from motherfucking Port Arthur, Texas.
Yeah.
And we showing up in our own fucking shit, and we don't fuck with them niggas, man. We don't fuck with that shit.
This is us.
This is motherfucking us.
Man, Bird. Oh, shit, dude. Well, shit, I think we could get up out of here unless you got some more shit you want to get off. You want to talk some more? You got some more shit you want to get into?
I'm just quarantined, nigga. I don't.
It is what it is, huh? I hear that.
I mean, shit. You know, I ain't got no topics, but. You know, I'm always down to talk.
To chop it up. Man. Shit. What you been doing? What else? What's been your quarantine entertainment this last week?
The internet. You know what I'm saying? I've been on the same shit everybody else been on, the fucking Instagram and the fucking internet. I ordered some books and shit. You know what I'm saying? Joy by Osho. Shout out to Kai from St. Sincerely Tommy. Was posting some dope-ass quotes from the book. And I'm like, what the fuck book is that? And you know what I'm saying? She was like, oh, you know, Joy by Osho. So I ordered that shit. So I'm about to get into some reading. Mm-hmm. But really, I'm taking my time, my nigga. I'm looking at the game. I'm watching the horizon. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing people shine in this era, which, you know what I'm saying, when you look at who's shining, it's people who's supposed to be shining. It's shit is built for certain people that's already been moving. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like I found my time to jump in yet. You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel no kind of way about that either. You know what I'm saying? I feel pretty confident in just watching what's happening and entertain and enjoying myself and getting these 8-9 hours of sleep I'm getting every night, you know what I'm saying, that I've never got ever and ever. You know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying that shit, and I know I'm prepared for when my time comes, it's going to be my time. So I'm not really stressed about this shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying attention to shit that I should have been paying attention to when I was trying to grind, and then take advantage of every opportunity and shit. And I got projects that I haven't fucking even looked at. You know what I'm saying? Because you grinding and you know what I'm saying? You're doing all this shit. I grind all my fucking life. You know what I'm saying? And I look back now, I realize shit, it's kids in my family I don't even fucking know. You know what I'm saying? Like, who the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying? That's such and such kid. You know, they done grew the fuck all the way up. I never even met them.
You know what I'm saying? Missed their whole shit.
I missed their whole life. They don't even know me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm just taking more time to be diligent about the shit that's right here, right now. And I know when the opportunity arises that fit my motherfucking skill set and what I got to do, that shit, I'm going to jump right on in. And I feel it coming. You know what I'm saying? I feel it like, I feel, I told my wife the other day, I feel the hair on my arm standing up because it's so close. But it ain't here yet, so I'm patient like a motherfucker. I'm gonna let everybody shine. I'm gonna watch and I'm gonna celebrate everybody that's shining. And then when my time come, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna jump in and be like, "Bow, here I am, motherfuckers." So really, that's what I've been on, man. Really, a lot of self reflection, and really trying to take control of my family and who I am within that. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you do a lot of working and not a lot of engaging. And so this time it feels good to be able to engage without the pressure of work. And I know a lot of people that's like me. You know what I'm saying? So when I reach out to them and be able to tell them that same shit, it feels good for them to be like, you know what? You right. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people that's been grinding for years. And, you know what I'm saying? Now it's time to just pay attention to what's real, what's right here. All we got is what's right now, dog. You know what I'm saying? My wife want me to, you know, come spout out a plan of what the fuck she gonna look like in 2-3 years. And really, man, the most important shit is right now. The present. You know what I'm saying? The present. Fucking shit.
Hey, that shit, yeah. I'm trying to get into chickpeas a little bit more.
Oh.
Just cooking a little bit. Yeah, man, I got so many cans of chickpeas in the fucking cabinet that I really don't fuck with. And everybody, like, there's a lot of chickpea people out there that are like, nah, just give them a shot. You know, so I tried some shits earlier today. And all right, I'm getting to it. I say this, couple things I'm excited about. One, shout out to my man Reggie Conquest. He's a comedian. he was most recently seen dicking down Issa Rae on a good old fucking big, Insecure. TSA Bay, as they call it.
Full size Bay.
man, that shit was, I was that. Like, yeah, look at this cat. Yeah, man. Shout out to Red. So that was a great look. He jumped all the way out the window, butt naked. You know what I mean?
That's a good look for him, dog.
He jumped out there. Yeah, that was a good dude. And he's a funny motherfucker, so it's a great look.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because at first you were thinking they was going to give him an L. You know what I'm saying? Because he was doing the most, and she was like, you know what I'm saying, okay, this ain't working. But then he finally got it in the missionary and, you know what I'm saying, made it work. So they gave him the win, ultimately.
Yeah. Oh, you mean in the sex scene itself?
Yeah,
the whole arc of the show.
In the show, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It kind of looked like it was going to be just some trash.
Yeah.
He finally got
to the space. But what made his character dope, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Issa Rae because she was writing on this episode in the writer's room and that shit and all that.
Yeah.
They, you know what I'm saying? They made him understanding, you know what I'm saying? Like, they made him still, like, even though she was criticizing his performance. He didn't fall off. He was able to pivot and get to the space where it was real. And then in the end was able to say, you know what, that missionary was popping.
Mm-hmm. Said you like a Rubik's Cube. That was a good look.
His enthusiasm kept him in the game. Yeah. That's a lesson for niggas though. Because a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, when we get hit with them damn criticisms, we like, it's
out the game.
Yeah, he be like, come on. Nah, shit.
Hang in there. You know what I'm saying? Hang in there.
Like we'll be quick to fucking be like,
don't give up. Nah, all of that shit.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a good lesson in that. And like, you know what I'm saying? You get hit with the criticism. All right, make light, you know what I'm saying? You know, and switch up and pivot.
Yeah, that was a teachable moment, as they say. But overall, yeah, that shit was cool to see that back because you see how the timeline go crazy. It was a dope episode, you know. Sundays is going to get crazy because, you know, next week, I mean, this Sunday, that's Saturday. Okay, so it wouldn't be a crazy thing because I was looking at Saturday is when the Versus is, and that's 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. right? 9 o'clock. Because mm-hmm. I also saw, you know, this Sunday coming up, 9 o'clock. Is hour one of that 10-part Michael Jordan documentary. Which is going to be fucking stupid. I don't even understand how I'm going to see it. It's on ESPN, so I don't know if I'm going to have to, I don't know if I'm going to upgrade some shit or figure something out, but that's something I do not want to miss. Michael Jordan is already going on record saying, yo, when you see this, you're going to think I'm a horrible person.
Well, we already think that.
Which is, but you know what? It's more rumors than anything. Not rumors. There's accounts and shit like that. But I think this shit gonna go really. This might really go deep, because he even cited some shit. He was like, "You're gonna see." That's when you know shit is real, when you're trying to get in front of it. You know what I mean? He don't want to fuck up these Jordan sales. He's like, "Hold on, nigga, I got a few models coming out this season." He said, "You're gonna see me and a guy." This is how you know. He motherfucker really got abused because the guy he named, I didn't even know this nigga was on the Bulls. He was like, you're going to see me and this guy, Scott something something, and I'm really riding him, you know, but the reason I'm doing it is because I want to get him ready,
right?
Because we got to go to the playoffs, and we're going up against Indiana. It's going to be tough. I need him to be tough.
Right.
But
yeah,
I thought
he's
was
very tough love motherfucker, man.
You said what?
He's a tough love motherfucker.
Oh, he's tough love. But
I think people want to enjoy him more, actually. I think his stock will rise because you see how tough he is as himself. And now what we're probably about to see is how tough he is on his teammates.
Yeah.
And I think it'll probably come off more as him being a leader. We already know he's an asshole. The nigga went to his Hall of Fame speech and cussed out a nigga from high school. Like, come on.
Right.
Man. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Crying Jordan meme is from. Like, yeah. I mean, he's petty. He's 50 Cent petty, you know?
Yeah.
So we know that. So it's just going to be, we'll be able to get some good insight on the background stories of how petty he could be.
I'm excited because in the little article where he's talking about, you know, you're going to think I'm horrible, the one line that jumped out to me, he said, you know, if you feel... you feel a way at how I did what I did. He says, well, that's you, because you never won anything. Mm. That shit is real as shit. Because you never won anything. God damn.
And that's what's going to get him over the hump. That's what's going to get him over
the hump. Yeah, stand in it.
Because he in the end, he is a winner. You know what I'm saying? It worked. So no matter how nasty he was, it's not going to fuck him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he was nasty and then it didn't work and then it ended up being harmful for everybody's lives later, then yeah. But everybody benefited from Michael Jordan being in the league and being a horrible person.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody, yeah, I mean, shit, they got rings. They got rings. You know, that's always
we were entertained. You know what I'm saying? We got the dopest shoes of, you know, all time. I mean, you know.
Another thing about this documentary, which I'm excited about, is this is the first time people will ever see Michael Jordan play in HD. So that's something to be said.
That means he's old as fuck.
Huh?
That just means he old.
Well, that means he old, but they saying the shit just look even that much better when you seeing it, you know, like how you seeing all of this new shit presented. You know, because we was watching a lot of that shit on standard definition.
Yeah, fuzzy, you know what I mean? So, definition. Yeah,
exactly. But, yeah, that's it, man. I ain't got no more to talk about.
Word up, man. It was good.
You got anything else you
want to
say before we get out of here?
Out here in this quarantine, man, it's always good to talk to grown folks and shit, you know. Shit. Appreciate you, brother, for being here.
I'm glad. Yeah, man, absolutely. Likewise, man, it's good to talk to somebody. You know what I mean? I'm quarantining by myself. I've been thinking about getting a plant just so I have something living in the room.
We should do this more often.
We might. We'll figure it out. We'll figure something out. Maybe so. Where you go? I mean, I would say where you going to be, but shit, I think everybody knows where you should
be. I'm going to be right here in the house, but my mind is going to be out in the world. My mind is going to be expanding and to do different realms. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be up-leveling my motherfucking energy. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting into the flow and recognizing my potential power and bringing it all together and making sure that my pineal gland doesn't calcify in these times of fucking isolation.
I hear that shit.
So I'm going to be into the motherfucking fifth dimension and not the fifth G.
Ooh, don't fuck with the 5G. Nah, that's that.
But you can catch me on Instagram at Mr. Muhammad and Twitter on at Mr. Muhammad.
Okay. Shit, I'm going to be either in the living room, either in the bedroom, or fucking either in the kitchen or washing my hands.
Window to the wall.
Windows to the wall, brother. You know what I mean? And then, shit, I'll be on Instagram, D-Lemon Comedy. I'm on Twitter, D-Lemon Comedy. I'm on YouTube, D-Lemon Comedy. I'm around. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation. We are out.
Hello. Conversation.